you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
There are former Trump fans all over the internet who are burning their Make America Great hats, which is very scary because it means they've discovered fire.
It has to do with the fact that in the Soviet Union, if you want to buy an automobile, there is a 10-year wait.
We have constructed a governmental welfare scheme, which has been a machine for producing poor people.
I asked you about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
I think that all government is a waste of taxpayer money.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Circus podcast. This is Zed, and as always, I am joined tonight by Red.
And tonight we're going to talk to you about the most exciting thing that has ever happened in the history of the universe. Well, maybe not that. But we're going to talk to you about something that's still pretty exciting, right?
Well, it's exciting. It's depressing. Depressing, but unfortunately, it has to be covered. So we're going to do a little bit of a different thing tonight. We are just doing one topic. We're going to try and do this really well. We're going to keep our episodes. We're just going to try out some shorter episodes and try and do some more frequent things and have also some additional sort of side content that you've heard us talk about freak shows before. We're recording our first one right after this podcast, so we'll see how that goes, and hopefully it'll be up on the stream for you guys to give it a listen and see what you think about. But our first topic tonight, we'll go ahead and jump right into it here, Red, is going to be the Alex Jones lawsuit. Now, Red, are you familiar with the Alex Jones lawsuit?
So let's talk about Alex Jones first. So who is Alex Jones?
Well,
so I went to high school with Alex Jones, and I think she was the daughter of a prominent city figure. Is that who we're talking about?
Nope, that's a different Alex Jones. You know, the funny thing about Alex Jones, who, of course, Alex Jones, if anybody out there does not know who Alex Jones is, he is a conspiracy theorist.
I don't think that's – I think he's a professional seed salesman, isn't he?
Well, he's a professional seed salesman. He's a professional male enhancement substance salesman.
Biome defense. Have you gotten your biome defense?
You know what? I have not been taking the biome defense. Somehow I've still fathered two children.
I'm thinking about getting some biome defense. Somebody's got to be defending my biome, and I don't know anybody else who's even trying.
Well, you know, if suddenly, like, you know, you just have like a litter of children, your wife just has like 9 kids the next time, like Octomom or something, then we'll know that works.
All right. Well, I'll get some biome defense. This could be part of the show. I could just try one odd InfoWars product at a time and see if I survive, if my life gets better or worse afterwards.
Oh my gosh. I watched a YouTube video actually where a guy documented that, where he took
really?
He went through a 30-day period of like taking all the different things, and he was like, okay, I'm going to – he even listened to the show to find out, like, you know, eating advice and stuff. And like, he did this thing too where he would listen to at least one whole show every week. And if you guys don't know, Alex Jones shows are like 4 hours long. I mean, of him just rambling.
Only when he goes into overdrive.
Yeah. Anyway, it can be a feat to make it through an episode. Like, I don't know how the guy does it. And he does it without a co-host. So, I mean, he just literally is like open mic rambling and just going topic to topic to topic. And I have to say this, the guy is a natural speaker.
Yeah, I think of him in a lot of the same ways I think about our current president for however long he gets to maintain that job. They both just kind of have a topic, and then they just sort of talk about and around it for, I don't know, a long time.
Well, so I'll say this, though. Alex Jones speaks better.
Well, he's very exciting, and he's because it always feels like everything's about to just – there's like an explosion about to happen everywhere all the time, and the next shoe is about to drop. And so if you ever read any of those QAnon posts, it was like any minute Hillary Clinton is getting the handcuffs put on her, or Barack Obama's being brought up on charges, or the White House is going to implode, or something crazy is going to happen. It was just like every single moment. So when you're watching Alex Jones, it's kind of like that, or listening. It's kind of like every single moment, something crazy is just about to happen. We're just on the edge of the end of the universe. The lizard people are coming for us.
Definitely. And it's very intense. So it's like if you're watching a movie and it gets to, like, you know, the climax point of the movie, except every, like, movie is always the climax point, and it never goes into that sort of resolution phase.
Well, how could he resolve things? Actually, you know, to be fair, really, him getting Trump in there would have been a resolution, because he was very, very, very pro-Trump. That was his he went with Trump for whatever reason. Yeah. That was the only candidate I think he's ever supported, other than maybe Rand and Ron Paul.
Yeah, so that's been one of my biggest gripes with Alex Jones since Trump got elected, is like, hang up your hat, buddy. Works, your job's done. You got the deep state whatever out. You know, what could be possibly going on now? You've got your crazy man in there.
So you would think that, except that the deep state is still the deep state. So, and I think it's pretty clear that's actually true, because the government is currently trying to throw the president in jail. So I think it's and the former leader of the FBI is now currently leading a giant department after he was not allowed to get back into the FBI after asking for that job back. So, I mean, there's certainly the deep state is still there, but it also allows this narrative to continue, whether it's true or not, that there's still it's this continual underdog position, because even though he's in a position of power, he's constantly under attack, and he's literally under investigation all the time.
Well, I mean, we could go into a whole show on that. So I think he brings a lot of that on himself just by constantly tweeting and speaking things.
So yeah, definitely. I'm not saying he does or doesn't deserve it. I'm just saying what this does is it continues the narrative. So even though he's in charge, he still gets to Jones still gets to talk about it as if he's the tip of the spear and we're under attack, because, you know, they're under investigation, so they are under attack. So it's really interesting how he got the president in charge of the country, and he's still kind of able to hold on to this under attack narrative.
And I do believe he helped get the president into office. I mean, he has a very large listener base. He does very well for himself financially, although I think that, to me, he comes off at least as he would like his listeners to believe he is not financially well off, but he is very financially well off. Nobody should ever question that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like he's taking all this money and just spending it on his castle. I'm sure he has a castle, but he also took all this money and built some kind of giant studio and is trying to have all these TV shows. He's got a bunch of different podcasts he's launched out of this thing. Who's the British guy that's super popular?
I don't know who you're talking about, but I just have to imagine it's like the anti-John Oliver. Like, if that guy and John Oliver ever, like, shook hands, it would be like matter and antimatter, like, touching each other, and there would just be like a nuclear explosion.
Paul Joseph Watson, that's who it is. So this Paul Joseph Watson guy, so he's in the UK, and he's got like this huge YouTube following. He has these massive videos that get tons and tons and tons of hits, because he's, you know, he's well spoken and he basically knows what he's talking about. So just like your guy.
So, yeah, and there's the British effect, and I want to talk about the British effect.
Right.
As Americans, there is this, I don't know what it is, there's this natural, like, thing where most Americans will listen to a British person speak and just believe that whatever that British person is saying is true, because that British person somehow, for some reason, that accent does something to our brain where we just believe that that person is automatically smarter than us. And people need to just forget that. And remember, I have to do this to myself. When a British person is talking, I automatically just say, hey, this person is not automatically right. I remind myself of that in my brain, because I've actually, the effect has worked on me before. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, yeah, because you think, okay, well, this person quit. And this I think this happens reverse, too. It So I spend a lot of time in a rural area, and sometimes you use this as a joke where you use a rural accent and you just basically as a way to imply that someone is stupid. And it's not true, right? I think we all know that just because somebody has a rural accent doesn't mean that they're unintelligent, they don't know what they're talking about. But it does. It just is naturally, we hear a specific way or pattern of speech, a way of talking, and we just associate it with, intelligence or unintelligent.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it definitely works the other way around. And I mean, you know, I do that in jest a lot. I grew up in an area where people talk like that and literally talk like that. So and not all of those people are stupid, but you're right. It does kind of work both ways. There's the spectrum of dumb redneck idiot accent to like Oxford English accent. Those are the two ends of the spectrum where you immediately assume that the person in the dumb redneck accent is an idiot, and you immediately assume that the guy with the proper British English accent has graduated from Oxford with like 12 doctorates and just had tea with the Queen.
Right, like John Oliver, who we all know is a double doctorate holder in both science and engineering.
I have no idea what John Oliver's qualifications are. I would assume he has a communications degree, but I don't know.
That sounds right. He might have a communications degree.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll need to look and discover the facts on John Oliver, who was off for Memorial Day, you know, last night. And I was sad about that because I like to watch the John Oliver.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is you got to get that progressive worldview into you with that British accent.
Oh, come on. Now, it's funny. You have to admit it's funny. You don't think it's funny?
And this is how I felt about the Daily Show, if we really want to go back, because that's where he got his start. I loved the Daily Show with Jon Stewart under George Bush. I thought it was phenomenal. But then when Obama took over, I realized that it wasn't just skewering the people in charge. It was just skewering Republicans. And at that point, I was like, oh, well, I didn't think it was funny anymore because I just thought it was a partisan thing trying to make me think a certain way. And I don't want somebody trying to tell me how to think. I just want them telling me what the information is so I can make up my own mind. And so that's how I feel about The Daily Show and John Oliver and all this stuff, is that they've got an agenda. They're driven with an agenda to make me think a certain way about a certain thing. And I think we have an agenda here on the Daily Circus, and that's to not try to make you think one way or the other, but just try to give you information and help you get along with people.
Right. To keep an open mind, I think, would be our agenda.
Sure.
So
anyways,
yeah, well, let's get into the topic, into the juicy bits here tonight. And this is a bit of a sad story because, of course, we're going to be talking about Sandy Hook. And, you know, that is obviously it's a tragic story. And some of the things that are going to be said tonight are going to, I think, immediately incite anger inside you, because we do this thing where, you know, it's an emotional thing. There was a tragedy. And when you hear somebody say something bad about a person that something tragic happened to, your immediate instinct is just to be really angry at that person. So what I'm going to ask you to do tonight is just I want you to kind of suppress that and, you know, not that you shouldn't have those feelings. You can have those feelings later after you listen to the episode, but I want you to kind of try and set feelings aside just for the episode and listen to just the facts. And then, you know, you can have the feelings afterwards. The feelings are legitimate. I'm not trying to say they're not, but what I want you to do here is really try and keep an open mind and try and look at things from a constitutional perspective as we discuss this subject. Red, do you think that's a good way to open this? And is there anything you want to add?
No, I think we should have as much emotion as possible. That way we can't think.
Okay, well, don't listen to Red's idea.
I'm totally with you there. The emotion is, in a lot of ways, the enemy of reason. And when we make decisions based on how we feel, we tend to make terrible decisions and terrible assumptions and terrible conclusions. So, yeah, totally on board. It's going to be difficult especially if you're really connected to this particular tragedy. If you're very, or if you spent a lot of time thinking about it in the past, this might drudge up some old memories. So
yeah,
hold
and
on
I mean,
for the,
you know,
for the wild ride ahead.
And you know, just to caveat that, you know, if you're literally out there listening to this and you're like a parent or a family member of a victim, you know, I would just say turn this episode off. You know,
turn it off. Yeah,
this is not something you need to revisit. But you know, for other people who aren't directly connected, you know, just try and keep an open mind. So with that being said, we'll go right into it here. And so the deal that you need to know is, number one, Alex Jones thinks that everything that happens is to take the guns at all times. Is that a fair statement, Red?
Well, not everything, just most of the things. I think it would be fair to say that everything that happens that is bad is done intentionally by someone in charge of something that he doesn't want to be in charge of.
Yes, and he is a diehard believer that the government, or at least the Obama administration, I will say, wanted to take the guns away.
And they did. I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say that they certainly wanted to push gun reform, and they wanted more guns off the street. They wanted less guns. They wanted less powerful guns. I think that that's completely accurate.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that definitely they wanted gun reform. When people like to say take guns away, I don't think they literally wanted to take everyone's guns away.
Oh, I do.
Okay. I think
if they could figure out how to do it, they would do it. But I don't think they can figure out how to do it, so they're not going to do it.
Okay. You might be right about that. I'll say they would not try to take it that far.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, because they can't figure out how to do it.
All right. But, well, because it's unconstitutional. I mean, it would literally.
Well, I don't think that's why they don't want it. I think it's because it's politically untenable.
Well, yeah, because it's unconstitutional, it would break the system.
They break the Constitution all the time. Have you heard of the Fourth Amendment? So there used to be this amendment in the Constitution where, like, you had to get a warrant before you searched for things, and you had to specify specifically what you were searching for, and the place and the person and all this sort of stuff. You had to be really specific. But we got rid of that because we didn't like it. But it was politically tenable because nobody really cares about, you know, privacy when it comes to
yes. Now, I agree. They break the Constitution all the time, specifically the Fourth Amendment with the Patriot Act. And I mean, everybody should call their senator and their congressman and just say, get rid of the Patriot Act. Everybody should do that. You don't want the Patriot Act. I know it's called Patriot Act, but believe me, it's not patriotic.
It's things like that that make me not want to. It's things that it's just not good. Can't speak about.
It's like if I called Five Guys the lose weight place.
Yes. It's Orwellian, right? Word like the Defense Department. It's clearly the Department of War, but we call it the Defense Department to feel better about it. Anyways.
Well, yeah. So my point was that the Second Amendment is very it's a hot topic, and, you know, clearly just tearing the Second Amendment in two would create riots in the streets, and that's why they won't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So what's happened here is Alex Jones came out when the Sandy Hook massacre happened, and he sort of immediately started going on air and taking the position that he believes it was a false flag, that this was a government operation, and that many of the parents that you're seeing on TV are crisis actors. And this kind of brings us to the story here, because what's happening is these.
Well, let's explain what a crisis actor
is. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Red.
All right, so a crisis actor, and these are real things. We might have talked about this on another episode, but a crisis actor is basically a person or a group that you hire who employs actors, and you can have them do things for you. So there's one group that goes out, and you can hire them to do protests. So you can, if you want some people to do a political protest for you, because you don't have enough people that agree with you, but you have a lot of money, then you can hire I think it's called, one of the companies called Crowds for Hire, and you can go out there and you can look them up, and you can hire them if you want to, or if you want some weird publicity, you want them to do something weird, or you want them to, I don't know, do anything. You can hire these people, and they'll do stuff for you, and they're called basically, and one segment of this would be a set of crisis actors. So these are specifically actors that are designed to pretend that there's a crisis. So a legitimate use of this would be if there's a drill and you want to make people make it more real, so people really know what it's like if something really bad happened. You could hire some of these crisis actors and they would show up and they would pretend to be hurt. They would pretend to have arms severed or something horrible. And so this would cause a more visceral reaction. You'd see horrible things, and it would help prepare you when this actually might happen in the future. And so there's a real reason why these groups can be used and can be helpful.
Wait a minute. You said helpful. Helpful to that person's agenda. I don't think these people are at all helpful to society.
Well, so if you were training a police force, a SWAT team, to deal with a post-terrorist bombing thing, and this could help you train, right? It could help you be desensitized to the horrible violence that you're going to experience when something like this happens. And so I think that that is a legitimate use.
Okay, yeah, you're right there. I stand corrected. I guess my point would be, if they're doing this on the media, they are a terrible human.
Oh, yeah. So I totally agree. If they're doing yeah, 100%. If it's not obvious that these are actors, then it should be. I don't know how you could make it illegal, but it should be illegal for sure.
Yeah. No, like I think, you know, somehow I don't know. You're right. It's probably impossible to make it illegal. I don't even know if I would want to make it illegal, but, you know, maybe they have to wear shirts or something that says hired actor. I don't know.
If your company's job is to trick everyone into thinking something horrible happened, yeah, that there's we got to come up with something to make that wrong.
But, I mean, yeah, because essentially you're propaganda at that point, right? You're like, we are right. Propaganda for hire.
Crowds for hire. We should see if we can get a job there. I feel like we talked about this one time.
Yeah, I think we did. You know, I think probably they would take one look at our show and they would never talk to us.
Yes, definitely. If they did any investigation of us, crowds for hire or crowds on demand, hire demonstrators for PR events and more.
Yeah. So like the whole PR event thing, that's crazy. Like
protests,
you know,
rallies, advocacy, audience, PR stunts, political events. Yeah, this is and, so anytime you see people protesting or something or advocating something and you know that it's a grassroots movement, well, maybe it's not, because, you know, we've got some rich people, the Kochs and the Soroses and the all these tons of rich people. They can literally hire people to be advocates.
Yeah. And both sides do this. Everybody should understand that both sides of the line do this thing. And,
well, you know, you got to. Works, right?
It, that's why they do it, right? And I would challenge you, like, if you're out at a protest or something, just to, like, walk around and just start, like, asking people, like, where are you from? Why are you here? You know, what you know, give me...
like, hey, do you know how I can get a job with Crowds on Demand?
Yeah, I feel like that's a red flag that would just make that person then just never break character.
Well, maybe so. Maybe there's like a special clause.
Yeah, I would say what you want to do is sort of you would want to walk around and appeal to their individuality and appeal to just sort of like the buddy method, where you're just going to try and, you know, befriend them and you want to get their guard down so that, you know, they can then reveal some things that might.
This is the Daily Circus infiltration methodology, book one.
Yeah.
And we'll be releasing book two in 3 weeks.
You know, it's real short. Basically, just talk to people like humans.
Ah, treat people like they're people.
Yeah, that's pretty much
evil
it.
Evil enemies. I gotcha.
Yeah, so, I mean, even if they're saying something like, let's say you're at a protest.
But what if I disagree with them?
Well, that's okay. So, like, you know, let's say you're at a protest and, you know, you're on the other side. Like, I would encourage you to, like, walk over to that person and just, you know, be like, hey, let's have a talk. Like, you know, why do you think this? This is why I think that.
No, that's how you get the eggs thrown at you. I don't know. Maybe you didn't see that abortion episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but you got to pick one side or the other. If you're sitting on the fence, everyone throws eggs at you on both sides.
I think that's okay. It's okay to get some egg on your face. And I did. That's a very good show and episode.
All right. So Alex Jones is basically insinuating here that that the people on camera who were interviewed by the news agencies were not actual victims or related to actual victims or actual witnesses. And I'd prefer to call them witnesses just so we can leave some of the emotion out of it. So he's saying that the people on camera were not witnesses to the event. They were people hired by someone else to pretend to be witnesses to push a political perspective, right? That's what he's saying.
Yeah, that is exactly what he's saying. And, you know, we have some audio here that I want to play real quick just to kind of so you can hear that sort of out of his own mouth. So, you know, we're not just making this up. And kind of this gets you into the perspective that he took on this. At least this was Tuesday, January 13, 2015. So this was well after Sandy Hook. He was still making this statement. So we'll listen to that and then we'll pick it back up.
What you think. But what I'm curious about is, do you think that there's a new level of sophistication with a lot of these false flags where they plant a couple of pieces of, you know, flimsy evidence that get everybody talking and steer them in the wrong direction.
When you're trying to decipher cloak and dagger, dirty tricks, it's pretty hard to do. It's just that when you learn that they were funded by Western funding, then you learn that it was the same Amarola Lockheed connection underwear bomber, then those are big red flags that they were patsy provocateurs. The classic MO has been followed. And then, yeah, it kind of becomes a red herring, you know, to say the whole thing was staged, because they have staged events before, but then you learn the school had been closed and reopened and you got video of the kids going in circles in and out of the building and they don't call the rescue choppers for 2 hours and then they tear the building down and seal it and they get caught using blue screens and a email by Bloomberg comes out in the lawsuit where he's telling his people, get ready in the next 24 hours to capitalize on a shooting. So Sandy Hook is a synthetic, completely fake, with actors, in my view, manufactured. I couldn't believe it at first. I knew they had actors there, clearly, but I thought they killed some real kids. And it just shows how bold they are that they clearly used actors. I mean, they even ended up using photos of kids killed in mass shootings here in a fake mass shooting in Turkey.
Okay, so he clearly there makes the statement that in his opinion, and that part I think is very important to what we're going to be talking about here next, in his opinion, that he believes that Sandy Hook was basically a complete farce, that it seems to me like he's saying that children weren't even killed. Is that what you're picking up from that, Red?
Yeah, and so this is always the problem here when we listen to people, right? So when we listen to what someone is saying to us, we can read in whatever we want to believe about that person, right? So he did not say that, but he implied it, right? He got very close to saying it, but he did not actually say it. And I'm seeing it on the YouTube here, so you can see his face, and it's almost like he's going, you can kind of see him thinking about it while he's talking about it. And he makes that statement about, I think he said he thought that people had died. And then it was like he was going to say that, but now he doesn't think that anymore. But he didn't say that because I think he thought, I don't know if he thought that that was wrong or that that was just too bold of a statement to make, or if he was afraid he'd get sued, but he didn't actually say that, right?
So I don't think that he thought of a lawsuit in there anywhere, because I think he says stuff that could potentially get him sued daily basis. Like, I think he doesn't care about that. and you know, he is the press. So no matter how much you disagree with Alex Jones, or you think he's terrible, or you think he's great, or whatever, the clear fact is he is running a news organization. Now, you may not think it's news, and that's okay, because we're entitled to our opinion and the press is protected. So he has the right to do this. That's one of the things that makes our country great. He has the right to do this regardless of how awful you may think it is. He can run this news organization. He can, you know, come out and say all these things as his opinion, and, you know, deliver the facts sort of as he sees them. He's protected under the freedom of the press with the First Amendment is the point I'm trying to make there.
Yeah, that. So I agree. There is a specific carve out for libel laws that the Supreme Court has upheld as legal justifications for it, basically saying, okay, you have the First Amendment, but you don't always have it. Even though the First Amendment clearly says that you can't do it. I don't know if you want to bring it up and just read it. But what we do generally in this country is we take the Constitution and we can't do what we want to do, because the Constitution of the United States in America was designed specifically to encumber the government, to stop them from doing things, because basically at the founding of our country, we were founded to be a country of free people. So each of us would be free to make good or bad choices as we saw fit. And then we would bear the responsibility of the burden of those good or bad choices. We would reap the benefits if they were good, if we had good outcomes, and we would have to live with the consequences if they were bad. And over time, we as a society have decided that we don't really feel quite the same way as we used to feel. But we can never get everyone to agree on any particular rollback as a general rule. And so what's happened is we've basically had the Supreme Court over time just roll back constitutional authority. That's my perspective. I'm sure there's lots of lawyers who would disagree with me, but I think just looking at the facts, we don't actually hold on to the Constitution the way it was designed to be used. We have used the Supreme Court to continually roll back the Constitution and to roll back the implementation of the Constitution. So just looking here on the Cornell site, I have, I don't know, four cases that were brought up to the Supreme Court about libel. So we have a specific law that says if you say something that's, or if you write something down, and speech generally in the form of a radio show or something is generally covered under libel. The Supreme Court kind of just makes up their own rules as they go along, and they say, well, it's kind of okay as long as it's news, or if it's a famous person. So basically the Supreme Court has over time sort of pushed back or limited the scope of what the First Amendment actually says and means, where it should apply to everything. They've kind of scoped it down, but it still does apply to the public interest. And there's several court cases that back that up. Unfortunately, they sometimes go back and forth, but if you're looking at the whole of Supreme Court rulings, you got to think that the press as a public interest organization is actually protected in a much higher level than other people. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's what we get.
Well, you know, and I think it's one of those things where it's both good and bad, right? Because it's awful when the press gets something wrong or goes down. So I'll say this. I do not believe that Sandy Hook was a complete farce and that children didn't die and that it wasn't a terrible tragedy. You know, I believe pretty much things are as they were reported. That's my opinion. I think that Alex Jones saying this is a terrible thing. That's what I think. I think he's a bad person for saying this. And, you know, if he really believes it, okay. But I think he's still, you know, it's you're basically saying that, you know, children whose parents died, that didn't really happen. Now, if you believe that, I guess that's one thing, but it's still it's a very bold and terrible statement to make unless you were very sure of it.
Well, yeah. So let's talk about that, because I think a lot of people are very angry. But if it's just pretend it's true. I think we both agree that it's not true. I think the facts probably show that it's not true, that children died and parents suffered. But pretend that he's right. Pretend that in some alternate dimension, he's actually discovered something and he's right. Wouldn't you want to know?
Oh, certainly. Certainly I would want to know.
Right.
You know,
so we want to know.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
Well,
right?
Yeah. That's why he should be able to say this. And I know that, you know, people out there probably just cringed when I said that, but that's the thing. See, we can't have the protection from the truth. If we also can't have the protection for the people that believe they're saying the truth and they're not.
Yeah. And now if during this lawsuit, and I think it's fine to have a lawsuit about this, cause I think he's really on the edge. I'd rather not have a lawsuit about it. But I'd also really like this lawsuit to go to the Supreme Court and them to say, yes, he can obviously say stuff because he's part of the public interest. He's trying to tell people what he thinks is the truth. Because if for some reason someone was able to find an email where he said, yeah, I obviously know that this is a horrible tragedy where tons of people died and there were all sorts of things, and he admitted to lying, and he said that, oh yeah, I know that I'm not telling the truth. If he said that and they have it in writing, yeah, he should definitely go under for libel laws.
Oh yeah. I mean, exactly. Or let's say that, like, you know, I think one of the things I was talking about in the pre-show was if he sent like a staffer out there to do like on the ground investigative journalism, and the staffer comes back and delivers this like, okay, here's my report. It's like a 47-page report that basically like documents very clearly that all of this is true and that it is a terrible tragedy. There's no actors, all of this stuff, you know. And if he has access to that report and then he still goes on the air and says this, I think then yes, he is liable basically.
Yeah, I think the whole point here, so I'm just going to read the First Amendment here. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Right? That's it. It's not very complicated. It keeps going for some other stuff, but it's not complicated. The government can't abridge our freedom to speak or the freedom of the press. That's it. They can't stop us from speaking and they can't stop us from writing. That's all there is to it.
So, go ahead.
So we've carved out this little hole where we call it libel or slander. And I think it's probably okay. I do see a little gap there because freedom of the press would not be covered if you are meaningfully and intentionally lying.
Exactly. So let's say that I run a news organization and I, you know, run a story, and for a whole week I talk about this story where Red is just a terrible person because, you know, he punches babies and, you know, he just keys every car that he walks by, and, you know, he's stolen money from every job that he's ever been at, and, you know, you can't trust him, and he's just the worst person that's ever existed in history. And, you know, if I say all of those things as, you know, a news broadcast, and I know that those things are not true, I think that's where the Supreme Court has stepped in and said, you know, that is not okay. That's not, basically they're not saying that you don't have protection of the press then. What they're saying is that's not press.
Well, so how does CNN operate? I don't get what you're saying.
All right, we're going to go down a whole other rabbit hole there.
I'm just kidding. Okay, but seriously, I think that I totally agree with that. But I think that applies when it says freedom of the press. I don't think that is applying to a press agency. I think that's applying to anybody who is speaking or writing.
Well, anyone
who uses a printing press. That's how I'm applying.
I mean, basically, anybody who reports anything anyway. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to be a news agency. So the thing there would be, though, that, you know, I would still have the right to publish those things, but I'm going to have to suffer the consequences of my actions, basically, then, is what the Supreme Court said.
Yeah. So I think it's really interesting. I really, really hope that we don't take this into a negative place, because it's really easy to get caught up in the emotions of how horrible it would be to be feeling as one of those people and all that sort of stuff that goes along with empathy that we care so much about. But I think it's, and this is why sometimes I want people to caution empathy as their only operating principle, because if we only run on empathy, yeah, Alex Jones should go to jail, right? Because what he's done is probably horrifying for the parents of those children. But we can't operate only on empathy. We have to also consider the results of our actions and what we're going to do. So I think it's really important that we really think about how this is going to impact people. And there were some very funny surveys where they went around and they asked college students if they should start abridging freedom of speech to help people's feelings. And basically, people who are younger really care about empathy. They've been very trained. They've been trained over and over again on caring about how people feel and trying to protect people's feelings, because people's feelings are very important to people. And what it's done is it's created this giant hole where logic doesn't get to be applied because we have to protect people's feelings. And so we have to be very careful here that we're not destroying the foundation of our society to protect people's feelings, because you got to have some things for things to keep working and being functional. And freedom of speech is one of those.
Oh, certainly. And I don't know if anybody has watched the new Fahrenheit 451 remake from the book that HBO has just done. But if you go down the road of a society that, you know, wants to do nothing but condition everybody to being happy and not suffering negative consequences and hurt feelings, you end up getting that society in Fahrenheit 451. And if anybody wants to live that way, I think you have mental disorder.
Okay. All right. Well, if you do have that mental disorder, Kim Jong-un is still available. North Korea is still functional for a little while. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you can go over there. They'll take you right in and put you in a prison camp.
I don't know. Will they take immigrants? Do they have – what's their immigration policy?
Oh, no. I wasn't saying they would let you immigrate. They would take you in and throw you in a prison camp. They would take you in.
They're probably dying for more people there, right?
You know what? They are. So it's funny. There actually are some Americans that live over there that deserted back during the war. And there's like this whole documentary on Netflix that's really interesting about this one guy who basically he became a movie star over there, because, you know, the Kim Jong Il, the one before the Kim we have now, he was really into cinema and he loved directing movies. So he made this movie and this guy was the bad guy. So it was basically all these propaganda movies where this guy played the evil American.
Oh, well, that'd be a fun job.
And, you know, they hooked him up with the North Korean wife, and he has kids over there and all kinds of stuff. I mean, obviously, he can't come back to America. He committed treason.
And yeah, so, yeah, he would have to go to jail forever.
Oh, yeah, he totally should if he ever comes back. I think there was another guy that was over there with him. There were several of them. One of the guys did come back, and I can't remember if they ended up throwing him in jail or not. He was very sick. And I remember thinking, I really don't care. Like, you should put him in jail anyway. And this is me. And like, I am one of the people that is like, you know, you never should put somebody in jail. But anybody,
you're very anti-jail. That's true.
I'm very anti-jail. But anybody that would go over there and basically what those people did, the deserters, because they went into the regime and they let the regime use them as propaganda to suppress the regime's people. They literally they're not only treason to like the country, they're treason to humans.
Yep. Well, that's communism.
Well, okay, that's that communism. I don't think that's not what communism intended, but that's what communism seems to get you in practice.
Every time you can roll the dice, but it's going to keep coming up communism.
All right. That is a totally other discussion, too. But back to the point we're trying to make with this one is I know it sucks that Alex Jones can say these things. I think he's a despicable person. So for saying these things, at least. So for me, like, if I was going to make a claim that extraordinary, I would literally need to go and do tons of on the ground investigation before I would ever say something like that. So that's the difference between Alex Jones and the way that I report, and I think probably definitely the way Red reports too. The way we do things on the show. If we were going to come out and make a claim that was that far from what the mainstream is, we would want to have tons of evidence to back that up, not just a bunch of screenshots or emails or something. Like, I would literally want to be on the ground confirming these things. Red, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think sometimes we talk about stuff off the show and we talk about it. Well, is there enough evidence here for us to talk about this? We think, well, maybe this is probably happening, but I don't think we have enough evidence to really support that. So there's that's probably not something we want to talk about on the show. And I think it's also interesting because there's some stuff that is going on that there's not enough evidence to really discuss at a reasonable level, especially when you're talking about something that would be so difficult for people to hear, but it might be happening, right? So it does leave this gap, and the better the news agency, the bigger the gap is. So if you go to some place like the Washington Post, they're not going to tell you something unless they can get it sourced directly from the agency. If we're talking about a national security matter, like, so if something illegal is happening that the government is doing that they don't want us to know about it, they will not report it unless they have at least one and usually two sources from within an agency, right? So that leaves us with a really big gap, because they're probably doing other stuff that's illegal, but they can't get a source on it. So it's interesting, because I think there is a gap between what we can know and what's actually going on, especially when you look at one of these better sourced groups. So I think things like the internet forums and the blogs are interesting places to listen to stuff, but. It's an interesting, since you said that, it's just kind of brings up an interesting point to me that there's now has to be a gap, because if we're not going to be talking about things, especially if we're in, you know, the Washington Post or the New York Times, we're not going to talk about things unless we can have really good sourcing on them, then there's lots of stuff we're just never going to discuss, even if we think it's true.
So I think news organizations need to do what we're doing here on the Daily Circus. And that's why we're going to start bringing you the Daily Circus freak shows. So, you know, these are things where we're clearly delineating, Red, is what we're doing is we're clearly delineating, you know, the show where we say, OK, you know, we have these sources to back these things up and we're reporting to you the best that we can, that we really and truly believe, you know, what is happening. If it's on a Daily Circus episode, we really believe that is the case based on, you know, the research that we've done. But when we get into the freak show, it's one of those things where, you know, there's just not enough evidence to corroborate a lot of this stuff. So, you know, basically we're saying, okay, you know, warning, you need to do more research. We need to do more research. You know, this thing is something we should be talking about, but it's not necessarily something we can come out and say is true or not true.
Yeah. That's interesting. I think there is that gap for a lot of people. I think they don't understand that gap exists. I think they think that if it's not in the New York Times or the Post, that it's not happening. So I think it's important to, and specifically the Daily Freak Show is going to be very important for everyone to listen to. So you get to know about the gap.
Exactly. And you know, you're talking about that's what you said with the New York Times, the Washington Post is one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum would be people that just listen to InfoWars and Alex Jones and believe everything he says is true all the time.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe that those people exist, but I know some of them, so they do.
Yeah, I've met a couple in my day, and it's just like you can't even talk to them because you try, and then immediately they just go into like outer space mode or something. I'll say this: he does an excellent job making people believe all of the things he says. There's a certain set of people I think that are in that, you know, minutia, and they're susceptible to that, and he just like hooks those people and just reels them right in,
and then they buy the seeds.
Yeah, they buy the seeds and the biome thing and the whatever to make you you know, have 47 kids and erections for your whole life. I don't know.
Can we get a product like that? Is there any kind of a Daily Circus biome product that we
You know what? Daily Circus Super Enhancement, it just does whatever it is you want it to do.
Whatever you want, the Daily Circus Tonic.
Yeah,
on sale today.
Daily Circus Snake Oil. You know, we should actually we should make some Daily Circus Snake Oil, and you know, it just whatever it is you need it to do, that it'll do that.
It'll do it.
That's right. All right. Well, I think that's all I have to say on this. Red, anything else you need to say before we call this one a show?
You know, I just think we got to remember that we're all hopefully working towards the truth, and that should be the goal.
That is correct. All right. Well, we thank you guys for listening. Listen, if you're out there and you're listening to this episode, there is a couple of things that we really would like for you to do for us. And that is, number one, go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. That takes very little time, and you would not believe how helpful that actually is to our podcast. That is one of the ways that we go up in the rankings. And right now we are kind of suffering from 5-star reviews. We had quite a few, and then we had some kind of bot thing happen, and now iTunes has taken a bunch of our reviews away, and it's very weird. So we're contesting that with iTunes, and I'll say this, Apple is just so unresponsive, it's crazy on this. So please go out there, give us 5 stars if you want to, and if you can, go over to Patreon, donate to Patreon. That's how you're going to ensure that you get more of the Daily Circus if you like it. It's Daily Circus Pod over on Patreon. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Circus Pod. You can find me on Twitter at Real Zed. That's R-E-E-L-Z-E-D. And Red, I believe you're on Twitter. Is that right?
I'm still there. Red TDC at Twitter.
At the Twitter. .com.net. All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate all of your support, and we will see you next time on the Daily Circus.